And it's what you have said now. It's because somebody merged it with Ikigai. So in a way, I am thankful to this confusion, because maybe without that, it wouldn't be what it's like today, no? So maybe, but there were no intention in me. I just put this diagram and it has an explosion. Even in my profile of Facebook at that time, I used to have maybe 300 likes or 200 likes, something like that. And that day I had 1,600.
That is astrologer and creator of the Venn Diagram of Purpose, Andreas Zuzunaga, and this is episode 6 of the Ikigai podcast. Find your Ikigai at ikigaitribe.com. Hey there, it's Nick Kemp here from ikigaitribe.com with episode 7 of the Ikigai podcast. In this episode, I had the pleasure of interviewing Andreas Zuzunaga. Andreas is an astrologer and the original creator of the Purpose Venn Diagram. It's Nick here from ikigaitribe.com, and today my special guest is Andreas Zuzunaga. And Andreas is the director of Cosmograma, an astrology school in Barcelona in Spain, and also the author of the book Somos Cosmos, We Are Cosmos.
Yes.
And the original creator of the Venn Purpose Diagram that eventually evolved into the Ikigai Venn Diagram. So, Andreas, thank you for coming on to the podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me, Nick.
It's my pleasure. And it took me a while to track you down, but I'm glad I found out who you are, and I'm glad to be talking to you today.
Thank you.
So let's start with Cosmograma. So is that correct, my pronunciation?
Yes.
That's the name of your website, and it's also in the title of your book. In English, that's Cosmogram, which is a flat geometric figure depicting cosmology. Is that what your work is mostly about, cosmology?
Yes, it's funny because cosmology is a word that it could be used to reinvent what we are doing, but because, you know, astrology has a very bad reputation because many people think that knows what is astrology and it associated with the horoscopes. But then when you enter to this field and you start learning, you realize that there is much more than that, no? And it's something very deep, very profound, and then you have the temptation to just change the name because it's a name, astrology, that it's quite, you know, the reputation fact, no? And then, but at the end of the day, I think that astrology deserves to be clean and to maintain its name. But I always say that if logos means the meaning and the sense of something, and nomos means the name, the nomenclature about the distances between the planets, the weights, the whatever, the orbits, they're really the ones who are the real cosmologists are not the astronomists. We are the astrologists who try to relate the astros, the planets, the celestial bodies, related and looking for a meaning inside of us, not just calculating distances and everything. And then until 300 years ago, the astronomy was like the little sister of astrology. But today, nowadays, many people think it's the opposite. Yeah, but yeah, we do more than cosmology. We just do astrology, psychological astrology. It's not about pretending to predict the future, because this is the world has turned very complex last decades. Maybe in the past, some king could ask for his astrologer and ask for if it's a proper moment to win a battle or something. Now the world has become very complex, but for me, the important thing is not what happens outside, but what happens inside. Who am I? What I am here for? what can I give to the world? And this is my vision about the astrology. It's not trying to control the outside world and trying to do it in your way, but try to understand who are you, which part you occupy in this great plan, and understand that. And as we will talk after, it's about this graph, this diagram, it's about that also.
I understand it. I imagine it's almost like an endless field of study. You could just, as you say, you could research the external, which probably is infinite. And then if you internalize it and relate it, that would be very, very interesting. I guess man has tried to do that for hundreds of years to understand themselves. So moving on, I looked at your Twitter profile and I saw in Spanish, obviously this is in Spanish, on your profile you have the phrase, know yourself and discover purpose. And so obviously purpose is an important theme to you in your work and in your book. On your website, your book Somos Cosmos, from what I can tell, relates, as what you were talking about before, how astrology relates to psychology, science, society, and philosophy. That's a very broad, that would be a very broad subject to talk about now, but do you want to touch on it a little bit?
I think astrology this century, with the help of big data, it will be his century. It will be the if the world doesn't end before the end of the century, it will be a good century for the astrology, because now the millennials are looking for purpose in their lives. The old structures are falling apart. I mean, politician powers, religious powers, all the references outside of us are falling apart, and now it's more needed than ever, necessary than ever, to look inside of us and see what are here for, why we were born, and what for. And because in a concrete way, I don't say just meditate and be in a mountain. No, I mean the work, all the work is changing. The way we work, the robots are doing more and more tasks. And if you read about that, you read Rifkin or other economists, just say that in 2 decades, maybe 1/3 of the population will never work again. Another third will work some time, and just 1/3 of the population will have a permanent job, or a job that we used to have. No, so if I don't say that it's necessarily bad, because maybe they just give you what it's called in Spain, a renta básica, just like a salary, just to be alive. Like maybe some places in the world are trying that. And when I talk about purpose, I don't talk about profession necessarily. I talk about something that it's meaningful for you, it's fulfilling you, it's something that it's what is in the diagram, no? It's something that you love to do, it's something that people need, it's something that hopefully world will pay you but for doing that. But maybe in some decades it will be not necessary, this fourth circle. Maybe it will be just about finding something that you love, and something that you do right, and that people need, and it will be enough. But I don't know. It's quite this topic, the horizon of just having a free salary or salary just for being alive, because many people just will be maybe, because this is related with free entertainment and maybe free marijuana or legal marijuana. There are people talking about that. And I don't know if it's maybe for a month in your life or for some kind of characters or natures of people, maybe it's okay. But for many of us, at least for me, it would be not enough just to have Nintendos and entertainment and Netflix and marijuana and just to be at home doing nothing, maybe for a month. But at the end, it's quite dystopic. It's not a utopia for me. It's something. So this diagram, it's something that I was chewing since I started Cosmogramma in 2010. In 2011, I put it in a paper and I started doing more and more. And then in 2012, I just put it in my Facebook and in a book of a friend, which is now friend, Borja Vilaseca. But at the point that he published the diagram, we were not friends. We don't meet each other. We don't know each other at that point.
I definitely agree with you. I think if we don't have purpose in our lives, I think it'd be very hard for us to grow and find a deeper level of life satisfaction. And we're so distracted now. We have entertainment 24/7 available to us. We have social media. We have all these distractions, but a lot of us don't have a deep purpose. We're not really offering ourselves to a cause or service to other people. So, but let's talk about the purpose Venn diagram and how that came about. In 2011, it came to you and you were working with the concept, and then it was first published in a book, or what you said, maybe in a paper, but then eventually in a book, which is in Spanish?
In a book. In 2012, it was in a book called ¿Qué harías si no tuvieras miedo? From Borja Vilaseca, which it means, what would you do if you didn't have fear? He asked me for permission to just put it there. I say, okay, just put my name there. And after that, we meet each other and I was teaching. He had a master in the University of Barcelona about leadership. And he is very courageous and wanted to put astrology there, and we were just teaching not astrology but reading natal charts of white collar people who were in a moment of changing his life, a crisis or changing the job. They didn't know what their purpose was, and we myself at the beginning and then with my team help these people, the students from this master, to learn about his purpose.
That's a big part of your work.
Yes, yes. I mean, the astrology for me, it's about that. It has to, for me and for all the ancient philosophies, the adventure of a life, it's for me, for me and for Jung and for many sages, it's about the first half knowing who you are, just creating a strong ego in a way that you know yourself and know what you are here for and just do it. And then there is a second part which don't sell so much, because it's like the second part of life is just looking beyond that and searching for the source of these desires that you have, longings that you have, just inquire about why I want what I want. No, Schopenhauer, a philosophy which I like a lot, used to said that you are free to do what you want, but you are not free to want what you want. So, in a way, your desires are not yours. So, in these kind of questions, maybe are not important in a first part of the life, or if you are working in a job that you don't like, or in a family that you don't want to be there, or in a life, it doesn't matter who are the desires of whatever. You just change your life, you grow, and you try to make a life which it's according to who you are. And then when you have a life that you like it, and you are in your purpose, maybe you can investigate who is this purpose of. because it's not about me that I became an astrologer. I just study one thing. At the end of the day, I end up here, but it's not something that you plan. And even if you plan it, who put this plan in your head before? So, and it's the same with this graphic. This graphic, who put it in my head? 8 years ago, when this graphic went down to my head, because I experienced it like that, it was during, I used to meditate a lot at this time. I went to Vipassanas. I do, now it's not the case. I just do some yoga. But at that point of time, I just meditate a lot. And some things, they just came down when I wake up in the morning or when I starting to get sleepy. And many people say that. Even Einstein, in another level, says that the great insights that he had came to him when he was just waking up, or I mean, the ideas come to you, but they don't burn in you. They don't burn. They you listen to these ideas, and you don't create these ideas. You don't know what will be your next thought.
That's true. I think a lot of musicians say that. I think Keith Richards said that about some of his songs, and I know Paul McCartney said that about, I think it was Blackbird. He woke up hearing it. So I think that's true. These things somehow, they're floating around and they come down to us. So going back to the diagram, that is your original work, but you're saying it just came to you somehow.
Yeah, I was chewing it because my purpose with astrology is to make it so the more practical is, the more practical the better, no? And then I start listening the questions that the people who came to my consultation, and they were asking about these things. And then every day I return home and I think, okay, how we can find this center of the diagram in the natal chart? Because natal chart is about that. In your natal chart, you can see what you love to do, what you can do good, well done, what you can become an expert of, and maybe it's not what will people pay for you, because this is more something that you have to see outside in how is the world working, but it can show you a lot of information. But okay, it's not about making an algorithm and just to translate a natal chart to this kind of diagram.
What's interesting about the Venn diagram, a lot of people think it's a framework for HR managers to use or to find your dream job. And basically, you did not design it for that. It just came to you and you played with it. And it took you 6 months or maybe a year to finally think, okay, maybe this is what it is. And then you shared it with the world. And then it was translated to English. Other people started sharing it. And then obviously HR managers and career advisors started using it. And then Mark Wynn, who we'll talk about, he just merged it with the Ikigai concept, and he had very little knowledge of the Ikigai concept. And then after that, it exploded in 2014, maybe 2015. It's funny how you were just sharing the concept with maybe with your own friends and community. It wasn't something, was it something you were teaching, or it was just an idea you were sharing?
Hey there, Nick Kemp here, and I wanted to touch base and let you know about my new course, the Find Your Ikigai course. Developed in consultation with Japan's leading Ikigai researchers, the Find Your Ikigai course is the only culturally accurate and evidence-based practical guide to the Ikigai concept. If you are interested in learning more about the Find Your Ikigai course, please visit ikigaitribe.com. Now back to the episode.
Uh, I was just share it and leave it there because I didn't have time at that. I didn't have time at that moment, and not after that, because all of the growth of the school, to just develop it. Maybe if I didn't have the school, I just start. I just maybe wrote a book about that, and I start doing speeches about that, and maybe. But I didn't have the time. I didn't frankly knew or guess that it would have so much impact. And it's what you have said now. It's because somebody merged with Ikigai. So in a way, I am thankful to this confusion, because maybe without that, it wouldn't be what it's like today, no? So maybe, but there were no intention in me. I just put this diagram and it has an explosion. Even in my profile of Facebook at that time, I used to have maybe 300 likes or 200 likes, something like that. And that day I had 1,600, and after that it keep growing, and then after I see it in another websites that big memes, very big ones in Argentina. I remember now one, it's, I don't know the name now. I have screenshots because they arrived to have 100,000 likes, and they didn't put my name. Then I make a claim and they put my name there, but. But then I realized that this at the beginning I was very angry every time, and then I just let it go and said, okay, maybe my red line would be that a big company like Nike or whatever, or I don't know, a big firm company that used that graph and appropriated. Maybe I don't have nothing against big companies, but it's just a matter of that if they use it, they have to give me credit in a way. I have a person in my family which is a lawyer and said, you have to register the graphic and everything. And I said, I don't have time for that now. At that point, I was happy that Borja Vilaseca put it in a book, in a printed book with an ISBN, and there was no doubt about the year and everything. But when I tried to at the beginning say, okay, that graph belongs to that, many people didn't believe it and say, okay, let it go. And then I realized that in Wikipedia, they used to associate the Ikigai concept to my graph. And then I removed I was a cat and mouse game between me and I don't know who in 10 months, 2 years ago, three years ago, that I was just putting away this graph because it's not about Ikigai. And at the end, you go to Wikipedia and there is my graph is not there in the Wikipedia page.
It's interesting. I'm having this conversation with you now. It almost sounds your original experience with this coming to you and your interpretation. It is actually in some ways close to Ikigai, but the online perception of it being this is how you find your dream job. And the aspect of the money is definitely not related to the Japanese concept of Ikigai. So I lived in Japan for 10 years. I'm married. My wife's Japanese. And so when I show them the diagram, they're confused. And Japanese are very polite. They won't say that's not Ikigai. They'll just go, oh, yeah, okay, that's interesting. But they will point out Ikigai has really nothing to do with getting paid, and that's the only thing they will mention strongly. But maybe you're the lucky guy who the universe gave it to, and you were willing to share it, and now it seems you're comfortable and you don't worry about it so much that it's confused.
No, because I'm thankful to the life that this is something. This is my destiny and not about being a murderer or whatever. I don't know. At that point that I just write it down, I didn't know that would end up like that. And I'm waiting for somebody who wants to develop it fully, but not in only in a materialistic way, but in a profound way. I don't know. It's not mine. It's about people will do what they want to do with that, and it's okay for me. I don't know. And I'm happy to be here today talking about that, but I didn't expect when and how. But every time that a friend of mine or my wife says, "Look here, they are," and said, "Okay, it's just," it was not like that at the beginning, but now it's okay. I don't know. I use astrology, and I didn't invent astrology. So somebody just understood things and shared it, and now you are we are all constructing things upon each other, and then maybe I don't know, but if I didn't do that in 2012, somebody in 2013, 14, or whatever would do the same. In the history of invents, of things, that inventions, it's plenty of times that the idea dropped to two heads or three heads in the world, and so it's nothing personal. It's not personal.
Out of interest, do you remember? Do you have a specific memory when you first saw it as Ikigai?
Yeah, not the impact of the first moment, but I watch a TED talk, and I said, oh wow, they are talking about Ikigai, and then somebody related to that. But last week, that knowing that we will have now this podcast, I tried to find this TED talk and I couldn't find it, so. I think it's 2-3 years ago, and three years ago or something. And I say, okay, I don't know, because, you know, I don't know nothing about Ikigai. I mean, I didn't even read a book about Ikigai. It's not like you, that you know many years ago, and many people talks about Ikigai. I just only read one book. You have been living in Japan. You are married with a Japanese person. You know more the Ikigai than many, many people. I frankly don't know nothing about Ikigai, and it was strange for me to say, okay, this is, I could imagine that it could not be 100% related, because it was not in my mind when I create Ikigai. So, sorry, this diagram. So said, okay, what a coincidence or whatever. I have the book of Ikigai, this one, Spanish one, from Francesc Miralles, this author that in the second edition put my name, but I have it in my apartment, and I didn't have time to read it, no, but
many Japanese concepts are misunderstood in the West, and I remember the day a coworker introduced me to the word, and then when I started seeing the Venn diagram with Ikigai, it eventually led me on this journey to think, hang on, I want to find out more about Ikigai, and I want to explore how this misconception came about and start talking to people. And that's why I started doing the podcast.
Maybe you have to put apart this confusion and start talking of the real Ikigai, because maybe there is not so many people in the Western world who knows about Ikigai, maybe like you. Maybe the Ikigai found you in 1988, and it's what we are talking now. You didn't choose to be found by the Ikigai. Somebody had to tell you, and you have to make a resonation with that. You have to have a good vibration about this term.
Yeah, I think that's maybe that's what's happening. Let's go back to what you're really about. It sounds like you do help people find purpose, and I think that's really important. And I think people who lack purpose in their lives, ultimately they're unhappy and unfulfilled. So why do you think purpose became important to you?
I mean, I it's a good question. It's obviously related to my natal chart. I am Leo, and Leo wants to shine and wants to have something to shine. It's not the first thing that comes to you. And it was hard for me to find the thing. And it's funny, because I didn't want to be an astrologer. In my natal chart, when I get lectures of professional astrologers, they used to tell me that even 20 years ago when I was in New York and I had a crisis, because I start studying economics. I thought that this would be my purpose. I end up with this studies and I didn't like it. So I started working as a programmer, as I studied before. And then I go to New York, I work there. But it was a disappointment for me. I didn't like it. So I was in a bad moment. I went to an astrologer and told me that I could be a very good astrologer and help astrology to be cleaned. And I didn't want to be, it was not nothing, it was not sexy for me to be an astrologer at that point. And then I realized that, okay, fuck that what people think about that and just start doing what you love. And then after these last years, there were no one day that I felt that my life has no purpose. Before that, my first 33 years were very complicated in this way because it was there were nothing to look at the horizon and say, okay, I want to go there. This is my journey. This is who I am. And it's not who I am a part of the world. When you see the natal chart, you can see who are you are like the son of gods, some specific gods. Somebody is more son of Pluto. Somebody is more, this is a metaphor, but somebody is more son of Venus or Mars. And then when you see your natal chart, you understand who is your father or your fathers. And then for me, it was a very important moment. So, and it's what I said before. Many people tries to meditate and to look for the enlightenment, but without even being here as a incarnated person, as a successful person. And for me, the thing about purpose is, okay, find your place here in the earth and be happy with that. I'm 43 now. I will be father. I will have a son in a girl in 3 months. So I quite a slow person in doing my process because I need time to elaborate things and to experience it. But it's important for me the people to know themselves and to know what are their passions, what they love to do. No? And there are many people just trying to find that. There are coaches, there are many people trying to put this thing out of you. But I don't know, my way is the astrology. So I just had this diagram, I put it online, and I kept walking on my journey, which is about cleaning and making something dignifying the astrology. And this is my path. I will not have time in one life, so I don't have time now to say okay. I download this graphic to my mind, and then now I have to make a book and try to no. I keep this diagram in my mind when I see a natal chart. I try to explain the natal chart using this graph. I try to talk to the person who now I don't read natal chart, but just my friends or my family or some persons. But when I want to help somebody, I take his natal chart and I explain it filtered by this graph. I try to find in the natal chart what this person knows to do, what he loves to do, because sometimes it's a different thing, and try to find a point there.
Okay, so let's end the interview with a question and maybe offer some advice. How can we find purpose in our lives? Any advice?
Okay, you're asking this question to an astrologer. My life, I told you, I don't want to sell you nothing. Luckily, my school is full of people. You don't even speak Spanish, and your audience neither, I guess. But no, I say it honestly. Open your mind to the not. I'm not talking to you now, but maybe your audience to the possibility that who you are related in a way with all the things surrounding you, that you have born in a place and in a moment, and like a wine, you have the qualities of the year and the moment, the day, the hour, the minute, the second that you're born, and the place. And And open your mind. I mean, there is no scientific explanation about astrology. You can check if it's true or not, but you cannot not explain the way it works. But this is not a problem for the astrology or a lack of the astrology. It's a problem or a lack for the science. The day that science could explain or will explain the astrology, it would be a great day for science, not for astrology, because it would have increased their mind and their systems of measure the reality. I mean, because it's complex, the system. It's not about something creating it's not cause and effect relation. It's correlation. I mean, you are not who you are because Pluto or Mars send you an invisible light or ray or something that science didn't even discover now. No, it's not about that. The planets don't do nothing to you except explain you. It's like it's as above, it's below, and vice versa. And then looking so far, it's funny because you can see so behind, so close to you, no? So I said to the people, open your mind and maybe ask an astrologer to give you a psychological lecture or analysis of your natal chart, and you will find some purpose there, for sure. This is the best tool that I have found. This diagram, Ben, it's just an inspiration. It's something that you can contrast with your moment. You can check it and say, okay, in which parts I am more fulfilled and which not. It's something to it's like a mirror. You can mirror yourself at this chart. Okay, it's okay, but this chart don't helps you to go further. It's good to just discard things, but not maybe to be creative in a way. Okay, so it's beautiful, this graph for me. It's elegant, it's minimal, it's quite condensed. There are many information concepts, it's okay. But if you want to go further, if your mind is not so open to this kind of astrological thing, maybe just start doing therapy, but in a counseling, in a talking way, I don't know. But you will always will have the doubt that this is that what you discover in a non-astrological counseling, it relates more to the moment present and not something from your background, because your natal chart is your seat, and your seat is about becoming a bamboo or eucalyptus or whatever, and then find your seat, because the seat, it always changes, but everything changes all the time, but it changes in a pattern, in a way, and people don't realize that. They think that next year can be a different person, and they think that they can desire and put intention in everything, and this will be materialized. And I'm not saying now that it's not possible. I say that maybe if it's not for you, what you desire, it will be sometime in your life and then go out. And so the good thing about astrology versus having just a conversation with a master, a coach, or a psychologist, is that they don't have this map. For me, it's like a map. It's like when you go to the doctor and you wanna have an X-ray because you have a problem here. The natal chart is an X-ray. It gives you the map of your puzzle. No? So for me, this would be my advice.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we need to keep an open mind, and perhaps, yeah, we need to reflect back more than the future sometimes, and think about the time of how we came into the world. And we are part of the earth, and then we are part of the universe. So it's definitely worth contemplating about. Just one more question. What do you call the diagram? What did you call it?
I just put an asterisk and a star in the center, and you can see that it was the word that, for me, it was purpose. It was proposito. I don't know if you can see it now.
Yeah, I've got the diagram. Yeah,
I didn't put a name on it, and maybe that's the problem, because if I put it Ikigai or whatever name, the people would know that. But it was just a more left hemisphere of the brain, more visual, not so at the end. It has not a name for me. It's just this center, what it's important to find, but it doesn't have a name.
I was going to say maybe we should name it the Tsunaga Purpose Diagram or something.
Maybe. But I don't know. I'm embarrassed to take credit personally. Not because, I mean, if somebody has to put the name, it must be my name. I don't know. I don't have doubts about it. But when it was about Ikigai is not a person. For me, it was not a disaster that maybe somebody related to a concept. Now, maybe 5 years after, you start cleaning that confusion, and maybe 10 years after, nobody keeps associating it with that. And I don't know, maybe it, sometimes I think that maybe I should take more active part on that and say, okay, let's put it a name, let's do something. But I don't know how to do it. Nowadays, it's so easy to just remove the name, put your names there, and people, I don't know. It's a lost battle. I don't know.
Yes. No. Well, I hope today that my audience can have some understanding that, yeah, it came from you in Spain, and I'd like my audience and the wider world to be able to understand where it came from. So I'd like to give credit where it came from, and that's from you.
No, but it came to me, but it didn't came from me. But maybe I like a soccer player of Barcelona, my city, which is Messi. Maybe you know Messi, the soccer player. And always when Messi scores, he always do like that. He points to the stars, to his grandfather, whatever. And I prefer this kind of attitude than when Cristiano Ronaldo, it's like this, and I do it, and it's mine. And I don't know, but it's not. We are all sons of the nature, the life. I don't know. I'm not saying that Cristiano Ronaldo is worse than Messi or whatever. I just say that for my nature, I'm more comfortable of just letting this graph go. And if somebody asks me, I can tell you what I told you now. And okay, maybe in 10 years, this will evolve to another thing. I don't know.
I agree with what you say, but at the same time, I think you're being very humble.
I don't know.
Thank you so much for your time today, Andreas.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
So there you have it. Now you know where it all started. The Ikigai Venn diagram actually came from an astrologer in Spain, and it was inspired by a natal chart. I really enjoyed talking to Andreas. He was very humble and such a gentle, kind soul. The week I contacted him, or actually the day I contacted him, when he replied, he told me he had just put his dog down. And he also mentioned that the day the image of the Venn diagram came to him was the day he adopted his dog. So it was an emotional week for him when we made contact and organized the podcast. And also he was 4 days into a fast, so he was fasting that week. So now that you know where the Ikigai Venn diagram came from, I hope that you can pass it on and let people know that it's actually the work of Andreas Zuzunaga, an astrologer in Spain, and that full credit should go to him, and perhaps we could rename it as the Zuzunaga Venn diagram of purpose. This episode was brought to you by the Find Your Ikigai course. Developed in consultation with Japan's leading Ikigai researchers, the Find Your Ikigai course is the only culturally accurate and evidence-based practical guide to the Ikigai concept. To learn more about the Find Your Ikigai course, please visit ikigaitribe.com.